Okay, good afternoon. Let's see. So the plan for today is to look at more proofs involving quantifiers. In particular, I'd like to focus a little bit on, first of all, finish off the proof that was advertised for last time, the Pythagorean fact about the irrationality of root 2, and then examples where we have multiple quantifiers. Okay, so those are the plan for today. So let me just start though with that theorem that we were leading up to last time and get it out of the way. So this is the pretty nice theorem of a Pythagorean's theorem. Actually, one of several that these guys were, besides being a little bizarre, they did some good mathematics. And let me get down the people whose cameras are on. One that, as I mentioned last time, we're going to do is a theorem. The square root of 2 is irrational. Okay, so let me just go through our usual setup, and then we'll see what how to turn that into a proof. So as usual, we want to understand the proof, to understand and plan the proof. So we have our usual thing. So the first thing is to understand what's going on, and as usual, I just sort of try a few examples to see what's going on. So root 2 is something like 7/5, that's about right. So 7/5, and what would that mean to be, if that were root 2, that would mean that if I squared it, I would get 2, and if I square it, I get, if I multiply it, I get 1.96. So that's almost 2, but not quite, okay? And similarly, if I take something like 10/7 and square that, then I get, again, it's something, it's 2.04, 08, 16, et cetera. And again, it's something that's close to 2, but not quite, okay? So that's the best you're gonna do with rational numbers, and that's what we're trying to prove. All right, and so then the logic. So this one is, again, the type of thing that you do have to wonder about. One way to phrase the logic here, I guess, is it's just a pretty clean statement, except it's got this term error, so maybe we should call it P naught, and so that and think of P as being that root 2 is in fact rational. So let me say that the logic is the naught of the proposition, P is, square root of 2 is rational. Okay, that's a reasonable way to set up the logic. It's not a lot there as far as logic goes, but remember that one thing to do is to at least consider the possibility of using a proof by contradiction. So another way to write this, if we're gonna use a proof by contradiction, an equivalent formulation then would be that we have the not of this, so the P implies a Q and a not Q, okay? So those are two ways that we might consider trying to prove this as far as the logic goes, all right? All right, and so then, the next thing I guess to do in our sequence is to look at what the hypotheses and conclusions would be. So we would assume, so let's say that we're gonna use this proof by contradiction type of argument. Okay, so then we end up assuming P, that root 2 is equal to P over Q, something like this. And then we conclude Q and not Q. So those are the two things that we have to prove, right? So once again, when we're in this framework, we still don't know what Q is, and we still have choice, still haven't decided on Q. Okay, we might there might be a good choice that we'll come across later. So that's something to keep watching for, is this contradiction we're going to end up with. All right, and so then the last thing to do is to actually try playing around with things until we start to move in on such a contradiction. So this will be the ideas, and so the let's just start trying it. So let's recall a couple things. If we had that the square root of 2 is equal to p over q, then we proved last time some things. And so let's just recall what we did from last time. So recall if q is as small as possible, then one of them is odd, either p or q, or maybe both. So p is odd or q is odd. Okay, we proved that last time, so that's a helpful fact that we might just keep in the backs of our minds when we're trying to get this going, all right? All right, and so let's see. And then we can try some computing. And let's see, if that's the square root of 2, then when we square it, we get 2. So we get 2 is equal to p squared over q squared, or in other words, 2 times q squared is equal to p squared, okay? And let's see, so this is reminiscent. This says that p squared is even. And we also proved something earlier that that should remind us of. We showed that if p squared was even, then p itself was also even. Okay, so we can also cite that previous fact. Also showed earlier this means that p is even. Okay. All right, so let's see. So we can go along here. Actually, if we combine these two facts, what do we know? So if we use the fact that p is odd or q is odd and that p is even, what is that going to tell us?
That q is odd.
Exactly, right? Does everyone see that? So we know that one of them is odd. We figured out it wasn't p. And so, yeah, we have two facts. There's the fact that you just mentioned that Q is odd, and there's the fact that someone typed into the chat that P is in fact 2K. Both are true and both are useful, right? And so so those are the two facts that we're going to glean from what we have here. So Q is odd. Okay, and hence, oops, let me switch back to black. And okay, so as mentioned here, we have p equals 2k. Okay, and if I want to summarize what I know about q, since it's odd, what can I write?
Q is 2k plus 1.
Almost.
2m plus 1.
Yeah, anything except k, right? Because I already used my k, right? So just don't reuse the k. That's the only error there to worry about. So let's say 2, what do you say, m? M. So 2m plus 1, right? It suggests, again, just to be careful to use different variables there, right? Because otherwise you will confuse yourself later on when you do the computations. Okay, so... so this is what we have. So then we can combine it. So so let's see. So we get 2 times q squared. We can now rewrite as 2 times 2m plus 1 squared is equal to, let's see, I guess that's 8m squared plus 8m plus 2. Okay, when I work that out. And this is supposed to be the same as p squared, which is 2k squared, which is 4 times k squared. Okay, and let's see. So is anyone seeing that how we're going to turn, how we might be able to turn this into a contradiction? I'm afraid I can't hear you. It looks like you turned your mic on, but I can't hear you.
Oh, so divide both equations by two so they're still equal, because they have to still be equal. Then it would be 4m squared plus 4m plus 1, which means that would be odd, because it's, you're adding 1 to even terms. And then 4k squared divided by 2 is just 2k squared, which is even, and even equals odd, which is a contradiction.
Very nice. Exactly. Did everyone follow that? So we have this equation here. He divided both sides by 2, which is still true. And now we have something that's odd on one side, something even on the other. That's a problem. Let's see. Let me try to turn that into one way to express that problem is to move all of these things over to that side, and then I'm writing 1 is even. So that's something I know as well. So that's one way to do that. Let me do it that way. So so we get that 1 is equal to 2 times k squared minus 4m squared minus 4m, which is the same as 2 times k squared minus 2m squared minus 2m. Okay, so now I can go around and collect what I've got here. So I've got here a fact that is false. I have here that 1 is odd. Okay, I'm sorry, which is true. I have here that 1 is even. Let me fix that. 1 is even, right? And I also know that on the side here, we know that 1 is odd. 1 is, let me write it as not even. Okay, and so now what have I found? Are these?
Q and not Q, so.
Sorry about that, my system collapsed there for a minute, but I hope you can hear me again. Right, yes, it is, that's right. So this is this says that 1 is even, right, because it's equal to 2 times something. Okay, so that's why it's even. And why did I substitute 2m? So what I substituted 2m plus 1 for q, and I substituted 2k for p, and that was because I found over here that p was even, whoops, and that q was odd. P is even, q is odd, okay? All right. Okay, so I'm sorry, I disappeared there for a second. But so what part of the logic is this statement now? I've got this statement that 1 is even, and I've got that it's also false that 1 is even.
So that's Q and not Q.
That's exactly right. So that over here is my Q and my not Q, and I've got both of those, right? So I didn't have to decide over here yet, but now I found it. This is my proposition Q and not Q that I'm gonna use, all right? So this is a Q and not Q. Okay. So now I've got all the bits together and I can write it all out as a proof. So any questions about how the structure is likely to go at this point? Well, let me start numbering just so that it's sort of clear how I'm gonna do this. So now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go through and start looking at the facts that I know and want. All right, so we ended up by using this fact here, okay? So I'm going to start by recalling that one. Uh, Okay. And actually, I'm going to try to make that as clean as possible. I'm going to introduce a new definition about this small as possible. So I'm going to try to make that tidy. So that's the first thing we do. And then I'm going to say, okay, well, I'll cut down here. We also showed before. Okay, so this is a second proposition. So two, I'm going to recall this proposition. Okay, so then I have both of those propositions in front of me. So I'm going to use them. All right. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to say, okay, so now I'm going to go here and make my hypothesis that root two is rational. That's what I'm going to do next. And then I'm going to come down here and do my computations, right? So I'm going to compute that P is even. Okay, and then I'm going to combine just like I did here and get that number five, that Q is odd. Okay, and then I'm going to come up here and do what I did here, six. I'm going to use the fact that that we have those two expressions for P and Q respectively. Okay, and then let's see. Oh, and at some point I'm going to need that this is an integer. So at that same point, I'm going to note here that this is an integer because I chose my, let me put it right here. So I'll make that number seven, it's a number six. I'm going to say that k squared minus 2m squared minus 2m is an integer because I'm going to need that later. All right. And that's when I learn it is when I choose the k and the m. Okay, let's see. So then I'm going to continue along. And and the only other thing that I missed here, I'm going to put this one. This one I know right at the beginning. I'm going to do that right at the beginning. Okay, because I just know that. And so then this will be the very last fact here. And then I'll be done. Right, so that's the order that I'm thinking of doing for my proof. Any questions about why I would choose that order or what order I'm talking about? So again, I'm gonna start with the thing that I know without any help. I know that one is not even. So that I just know right away. And then I'm gonna go and list the facts that we already have learned. So this theorem and this theorem here that we already studied earlier, we already had those, all right? And then I'm gonna go, okay, well, now that I've got everything set up, then I'm going to make my hypothesis, and then I'm going to start doing the computations pretty much as I did here. Okay, so that's the order I'm going to do. Questions? Okay, so let me just write that up, and then we'll be done. So, proof. All right, so note that one is not even. Okay, so that was what I was gonna do first. All right, done. Okay, then let's see, then I was gonna recall my different facts. And for that, actually, let me write it the following way. Let me come up with a name for being as small as possible, just so it's easier. So, say that if A is rational, P is in Z, and Q is in N with A equals P over Q, and Q as small as possible, then I'll say that this is in reduced terms. Say that if my sentence is still correct, as long as possible, A equals P over Q is in reduced form. Okay, I didn't have to do that, but it simplifies my life to have a name for it, so I don't have to write it out every time. Okay, so now I have a name for it. Okay, and so then now I can recall this theorem. Okay, that if we have a rational number in reduced form, Then either P or Q is odd. Okay, that's what we proved last time. So that's something that we can assume. All right, and then this, let's see. So there we did one. Okay, the next thing we were supposed to recall was this other one. So recall that we proved before that if n is an integer and n squared is even, then n is even. Okay, so that's the other fact that we wanted to use up here. All right, let's see. All right, so now we've got everything set up to get started and we can go to our hypothesis. All right, so for contradiction, we will assume that A is, that root two is rational. Oh, sorry, did I say something wrong here? Oh no, it's just hard to read. I think I can do about it. All right. So we'll assume that root two is rational. And root two is equal to P over Q in is reduced form. Okay, so that's going to be our hypothesis for contradiction. So that's number three. All right, so then number four, we're supposed to start doing our computation. So compute. So hence, two, we'll square both sides. And we have two is equal to P squared over Q. And now the computation we did before was pretty good. So we'll just keep doing that. Two Q squared is equal to P squared. So P squared is even. So P is even. Okay. P is equal to, let's see, we can use the same letter we did before, 2k for some integer k. All right. So that was that. And then we were supposed to make use of our lemmas here to get that Q was odd. So hence, Q must be odd. And so Q is equal to M plus one for some integer M. Okay, so that's what we did before up here. Okay, and then we can start doing our last computation over here. Let's see, what did we want? We wanted this fact over here, so let's list that. K squared minus 2m squared minus 2m is an integer. Okay, and then we're going to go through and do this computation just like we did before. So 4k squared is equal to 2k quantity squared, which is equal to p squared, which is equal to 2 times q squared, which is equal to 2 times 2m plus 1 squared, which we worked out before is 8m squared plus 8m plus 2, okay, just like we did before. And hence, we have 2 times k squared minus 2m squared minus 2m is equal to 1, and 1 is even. Okay. So we're done. Therefore, one is even and one is not even. a contradiction. So the only thing that we assumed has to be false. So square root of 2 is irrational. 2e. Okay, that's kind of a long one. Any questions about the structure or planning or how that proof turned out? Okay. Yeah, it is kind of long, but it's also, I think, somewhat surprising. It was certainly a surprise to the to people a couple thousand years ago when they believed that rational numbers should be everything. Okay, so if there are no questions about that, let's see, then maybe I'll... It helps. Did I forget to do that? I put it in kind of a funny spot, but I agree. Yes. Okay, other questions or comments? All right, so. So I guess what I'd like to do now, my little mantra for today from section 1.7, which you should reread often, because it tells you how to do proofs, always use complete sentences when writing inside the proof. And if I forget, you should call me on it. So please do keep your eyes open and see if I ever write an incomplete sentence inside of a proof. Notice that when we did all this prep work, this is a mess, and that's fine, right? I can make this as messy as I like, as long as I can remember what I'm doing, right? I have to make sure I can remember what I'm doing when I'm doing this prep work, but I can make it as messy as I like, as long as I then combine it all, and in the final results here, the actual proof, I have complete sentences and everything is in order, okay? So. All right, so then my plan for next, if there are no questions about that proof, is to do some examples where we have multiple quantifiers. Okay, so let me start. There are two ways in which I want to talk about multiple quantifiers. One of them is going to be there exists unique, which looks like one quantifier, but in some sense it's both an exists and a for all. It's two things. And so this is both a and for all, but it's for all something else. But it has both flavors to it. And so I'm gonna do some examples of that. And then two, I'm gonna do something where we have a for all something followed by a there exists something, or a there exists something followed by a for all something. So those are the other type of multiple quantifiers that I wanna do examples of. Let me start with one. And I'll give you a few statements that are exist unique statements and give you a chance to just think about them a little bit. And then we'll try to run through their proofs. Okay, so example. So let me start with the following three statements. They're not all true, but I'm gonna ask you which are true and which are not. So three possibly false statements. Uh, Okay, so I'll start with, so number three here is there exists a unique X in R, so real number. And then the proposition that I want is that X squared minus 4X plus 3, and that 3 is why I labeled it 3 here, is equal to 0. And then the other two are the same, except I'm just going to change to 4 and 5. Okay. So just like so. Okay, let me remind you a little bit about how there exist unique works, and then I'll pop you into a breakout room for a minute or two to try the following questions. So breakout room questions. Okay, so which of these is true? Okay, and then B, and this, these are a little bit more stylistic, B and C, but they actually have pretty solid answers. So which want a proof by contradiction? And see which want a proof by example. Okay, and let me, before I pop into breakout, let me just remind you a little bit about there exists unique, just so you have a bit of a feel for it. So recall that there exists a unique X, P of X is equivalent to. Okay, actually, so does anyone know at least part of what this is equivalent to? So I'm going to have two statements, which, and I'm going to have an and. So what's one of those? So what's one thing that I have to check if I want to check that there exists a unique X, P of X?
You need to find an X that satisfies the equality.
Exactly. So I need that there exists X, P of X. And as you said, you both said what I wanted to the exist and the strategy. And as you said, the strategy would be usually you find an example. Right? If it's true, then you find an example. So that's the first thing. And then the other thing that I need if I want to prove that there exists a unique is yeah, for all. And this one's kind of a more complicated one. Let me write it out. What you want is that if for all two things that both satisfy it, they're actually the same thing. That's what you have to write out. And let me write that all out in terms of symbols so you see what that is. So for all, say, X, let me not use X, I already use X. Let me say U and V. If I have that P of U and I have P of V, that implies that U is equal to V, okay? So this is the second thing, all right? And I hope that you can parse what that means. So that says that if it's true, if U is one solution and V is one solution, well, they're really the same solution. So that means there really is only one solution, right? So this is the unique part over here that goes with the exists, okay? Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Okay. So that's the two bits. And so this one is finding an example, and this one over here, there are various ways to do it, to do this. Okay, so any questions about how for all, I'm sorry, there exist unique works before I give you a few minutes to try to answer these questions over here for this collection of three statements, right? So I want to know which of those three is true, which one is asking for a maybe more than one, some sort of contradiction proof, and which one is asking that you find an example, okay? So in other words, we're gonna prove the ones, whichever one's true, we're gonna prove it's true. Whichever ones are false, we're gonna prove they're false. Okay, and so so you have to think about what it means to prove something like this is false, right? This is an and, so when I prove it, it's false, what's gonna happen to that and there?
It will become an or.
That's right. So when we're trying to prove the false part, we can prove either the false of this one or the false of that one, right? Whereas if we want to prove the true part, we have to prove this one and that one, right? So that's what we'll have to do. Okay. Yeah. So let me just give you a couple minutes to sort of think through this one and see how it works and see if I can make these breakout rooms work. Okay, so how did people do figure out some of these? So let's start with A here. Did people figure out which one is sort of true? Not enough time. Sorry. I should leave more time. Anyway, sorry. Yep.
At least the one with three was easy because it was trivial to show that there's more than one. But if you have the second one and it came out with, and it factors to x minus 2 squared equals 0, you have the same element for all the elements which hold that property. So I guess that sort of proves the second part of uniqueness quantification, but that almost sounds semantic more than actually showing.
Okay, but at least you think it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's A is so far we're just wanting to know the answer we're looking for, and then we can try to work out the proofs. So far that's good. All right. And what about five? Is that one true or false?
It's false. Because I plugged it into the quadratic formula, and it came out to 4 plus or minus square root negative 4 over 2. And then because you can't square root a negative number, then it becomes imaginary. So it doesn't exist.
Good. So what we end up with, so they're false for different reasons. This one has more than one answer. This one has zero answers, right? That's what we found. Okay. So does that make sense, everyone? So those are at least whether they're true or false. Okay. And then there was some discussion you already started with. Let's see. So what about C here? Which ones can we prove by just finding examples of things?
Three.
Yeah. So three. All we have to do, as you said, is find those examples. Two different examples and you're done. Okay, so remember now, the one you're trying to prove is true. So number four, that one has two parts to it, right? So that one you have to prove exists and unique, right? So if we look at number four, for one of those parts, are we gonna be able to get away with just finding an example?
Oh, because it's for all, you have to use contradiction so it becomes and exists and then show that leads to a contradiction, I guess.
So that will happen later on, but I'm just so far just looking at the easy part. So what I'm just asking is we have this exists and we have this for all both that we have to do if we're gonna prove it's true like we are here, right? This one we say is true. So we need to prove this one, this part of it at least, you can deal with just an example, right? So, and then you still have to do something else for that second part, okay? But it'll at least involve, if you're gonna prove this in the most obvious way, it'll involve finding an example for this one and then doing some other work for the second one at least, right? So when you say that, so for an example, for there exists, and then more work for, the for all part, right? Okay, and then actually, as you also suggested, the place where the contradictions might come in. So, and I see actually people are putting in the chat many of these answers, which okay, good. For five. Okay, so someone's put in the chat an interesting comment that to show that something does not exist, to me, I would not call that an example. To me, I would say that I cannot prove that something does not exist by finding an example. I can only show that it does exist by finding an example because maybe I just missed it. Maybe there's some other example that I missed. That's also another comment. When we're trying to prove these things are false, what's false? Then since it's become an or here, we can kill either one and we're fine, right? So we just have to do one or the other, whichever. In fact, in this case, one of them holds and the other doesn't. Right. Okay. Let's see. We just have a couple minutes. Maybe I'll try writing out a proof to one of them. Let's see, is one of them more interesting than others to see a proof? Maybe I'll start with five, because that's the one that we can't do by example, okay? So that's, and it just has one part. So let's just do five, almost our time. So claim, it's not true that there exists a unique X in R, such that X squared minus 4X plus 5 is equal to 0. Okay, and so we want to prove that. Okay, so proof. It suffices to show one of the two parts, right? So it suffices to show that it's not true that there exists X in R with X squared minus 4X plus 5 equal to 0. Okay. Okay, and so let's try that, computing. And this, by the way, is a sketch, sorry. I would rewrite it if I had time. So computing, let's see, so we have this x squared minus 4x plus 5. Well, one way to write this is I can write it as x squared minus 4x plus 4 plus 1. And that first thing is a square, so I can write it as x minus 2 squared plus 1, okay? So for contradiction, let's assume that we have a solution. X is real, and x squared minus 4x plus 5 is equal to 0. So from our computation above, x minus 2 squared plus 1 is equal to 0. So that means that x minus 2 squared is equal to minus 1, which makes it less than 0. But we also know that anything squared is greater than 0. That x minus 2 squared is greater than or equal to 0. So we have q and not q, and we're done. Okay, so therefore, x minus 2 squared is greater than or equal to 0, and x minus 2 squared is less than 0, a contradiction. So the thing that we assume for contradiction, there is no such x. Okay, QED. That was a little rushed, I'm sorry. And as usual, after writing something like that, I would go through and write it again, making sure that it was clean and tidy. Okay. I'm out of time. Any quick questions? I will stick around and answer more questions once I turn off the recording. All right, let me turn off the recording and I say I will stick around.